T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's hump day.
It is hump day. Good music. Like it. Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. Did you get through both NHL games last night?
I actually watched a lot of the NBA game. I had dueling monitors on, so I was
there. You go.
I had both on for a little bit. I had some errands to run with the dog last night, so I missed the beginning of the Panthers Lightning game. But yeah, I got to enough of both, I think.
I also watched a lot of the basketball game last night. But I'll tell you, at halftime, I'm like, oh, well, Boston's... Now, look, we should know our lesson in the NBA now. Like, every team just... No lead is safe in the NBA anymore, right? I mean, this is the way the game is played. Third quarter, fourth quarter, doesn't matter how much you're up or down by. What is it? They were up by 8 at halftime. I'm like, yep. And I do not want Boston to win. Like, I just don't like the Celtics. It's hard for me because I actually like a lot of these Celtics players, but I hate the Celtics, you know what I mean? Like, I like watching them. They're just really... They seem like they're ballers, you know, and I love the way they play. But I don't like the Celtics. So I'm rooting for the Heat. Mm-hmm. And they were down 8 at halftime, and I'm like, all right, game one, Celtics. I turn over to the hockey game for a little while, and then go back, and I'm like, wait a minute. I thought there was a misprint on my screen, Joe, because it flipped so quickly, the score.
They were plus 25 in the third quarter, the Heat were. Like, their point differential in the third quarter.
Incredible,
so they,
right?
They, right, like you said, they went into the half down 8. They left the third quarter up 17. Like, the fourth quarter, that's actually been the story, I think, of the NBA playoffs, is that...
Yes.
The series are actually close, a lot of them, but all the games are blowouts. And
isn't that what the NHL was? Remember when the NHL was like that in the first round?
It was, for at least like the first four or five games. It kind of turned, right? Like the game fives and sixes and sevens were right. A lot of one-goal games, so the NHL maybe has turned for the better. We saw an overtime game last night where we've got close one-goal games. The NBA, it keeps going here. Like 11-point win last night. The game 7 between Dallas and Phoenix. Dallas was up, 40 at the half? So these games aren't even getting you to the fourth quarter. Whereas the NHL, at least now, right? Like early it started where it was like 7-1 every night. But now we're getting some one-goal games. So the hockey playoffs, I think, have been more entertaining, honestly.
And then, so last night in the hockey game, I mean, I didn't expect the Lightning to just pounce all over the Panthers right away in game one. I did not expect that to happen. And that is what happened. Now, the Panthers did score first, but then it was all Lightning after that. And then in the late game, I didn't watch any of the late game. I think I might have turned on for 10 seconds before I went to bed. Didn't know what happened until I got up this morning, and I look, an overtime winner. Did you watch any of that? Did you see any of that?
Sal, Colorado, it was a one-goal game last night, I know. Nobody is stopping that team. Nobody. That team is just... I don't know if I've ever watched a team and just thought, this team is winning the cup. Like, that doesn't happen in hockey that often, where they are just overwhelmingly better than who they're playing, and you can just see it. The speed is just on another level that's led mostly by Makar and MacKinnon, but it's really the whole team. And, like, last night, St. Louis gets the Avalanche, just like they blitzkrieg them coming out of the gates. Like the first 3 minutes, it's just boom, 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 chance after chance after chance. And then O'Reilly gets like kind of a fluky goal where a pass goes off two legs, just lands on O'Reilly's stick, and he goes backhand over the shoulder of Darcy Kemper. And it's 1-0. It's like, oh, this is going to be just like that Pittsburgh Rangers series, right? where one team dominates the other, but good goaltending, and you get a couple of breaks go your way, and it's hockey, right? Hockey's random, so you're gonna you're gonna find yourself in the series. Last night, that almost happened, because the Avalanche, I saw their shot attempts were 106-45. Shot attempts were 106-45.
That's insane.
In overtime, they outshot the Blues 13-0. Like, that game went to overtime, wow. Sal, but the Avs...
I've not seen any of it.
I was impressed.
I need to go watch overtime just for this now.
They were dominant. I mean, it was they were putting on a show last night. And it was only, again, a one-goal game. But I came away thinking nobody is stopping that team.
How did Colorado do that? How'd they get here, Joe?
You know, that's a pretty interesting question, because they're not... They haven't done it like, what, like signing big-name free agents?
Right. And I mean, they've had some really nice high draft picks that have turned out, right? I mean, like, you look at Makar and you look at, of course, MacKinnon. They've had that.
I think that's most of it. I mean, MacKinnon is one of the best centers in hockey. Like, it's Matthews, it's McDavid, and it's MacKinnon. Like, that's tier one, I think, right now. So they've got that guy. And then I think Makar is like a unicorn. I've never seen a defenseman like that, where he stick handles like Patrick Kane, but he skates like Connor McDavid. Oh, and he's a defenseman too. So like Makar is like maybe is got to be the best defenseman in hockey, and there's nobody like him in the sport. So he fuels a lot of that as well. But it's just they kind of have an eye for what they want. They look for speed, and they look like when Andrei Burakovsky, when the Capitals don't want him anymore, it's okay, we'll sign him because, you know, you might not like him in his own end, but he scores 20 goals and he skates at a million miles an hour. So, all right, we'll give him $3 million a year. Oh, you don't, Ottawa, you don't want Samuel Girard, a defenseman, because he's 5'9"? A little too small for you? We'll take him because he's super fast. Like, I think their eye for speed is, like, the first thing that comes to mind for me and, like, how they've gotten here, because that's been, that's throughout their whole lineup is that element.
I just think they're a good model right now. The way that they, the way that they built their team. I think the Sabres are trying to do the same thing. They've really done it through the draft, obviously, you know. But they were never really. I guess they were when they got MacKinnon. How long ago? Geez, MacKinnon's 26. When did they get him?
Because they
were bad then, but they haven't really been terrible for a long time. Maybe a year or two where they were really bad.
They're actually the shining example of it can turn quickly.
Yes, that's right.
Because they had a season where they had like 49 points. Like one of the worst regular seasons that we had seen in maybe ever in the NHL. And then the next year, they came out with like 95 points and squeaked into the playoffs. So a lot of times, they're actually the example of, hey, look how quickly it can turn. And MacKinnon, kind of the same thing. Like, MacKinnon didn't start out like this. He had that reputation as a draft pick. I remember when he was the first overall pick. I'm trying to remember what draft that was. I'm looking right now. 2013. So that's the Ristolainen and Zadorov draft for the Sabres. MacKinnon was, like, definitively number one. He's going to be a franchise centerman. Like, this is the guy. He's going to be a star. And then he was only, like, pretty good. Like, I remember, like, look at his numbers first couple years. 63 points. All right, okay. 38 points in 64 games. That's not great. 52 points in 72 games. That's not great. 53 points in 82 games. So his first 4 years, nothing really spectacular to look at. And What did that fuel, though? And Sal, you want another reason why Colorado has done this? Right after that year.
Yeah.
Right after that year, 53 points in 82 games at 21 years old. What did the Avalanche do? They signed Nathan MacKinnon. They didn't go for the bridge deal. They said, let's sign him now. Mm-hmm. Let's give him a long-term deal. Maybe he's not living up to every expectation we want. I used him as an example for Dahlin last offseason for this. He's not living up to every expectation, but let's sign him now. And they signed him to an 8-year deal for $6.3 million. And then the moment he signed that contract, 97 points, 99 points, 93 points. This year, 88 points. And the result is Colorado has by far the most cap-friendly contract in the league, because their franchise centerman, their Jack Eichel that makes $10 million, their Connor McDavid that makes $12 million, their Matthews that makes $11 million, Colorado's makes $6.3 million. Which allows them to do a lot of other things on their cap.
Now, I will say, though, he is a UFA after next season. So that will be very interesting, because they do have Landeskog on the books for $7 million. They do have Rantanen on the books for $9.2 million.
Yeah.
But MacKinnon will be a free agent after next season.
Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me. He's going to stay there. I think I love – he is someone to root for, too. There are a lot of good stories about, like, right. the way he kind of leads that team where he's almost – I forget which one of his teammates compared him to Michael Jordan. Was it Landeskog? That, like, he is – he's just a freak. Like, when you celebrate an empty net goal, like, he'll get on you. Like, this is a regular season game. Like playoffs.
Really?
Even. Like, yeah, he is – he's got a lot of Jordan-esque vibes to him, where he's just competitive to almost a, just a almost too far. Like he almost
to
goes
a fault.
To
almost
a fault.
To a fault.
It almost
yes.
that sounds like what like kind of what he is for that team right now, which I kind of like.
That's interesting. So the other team out there that I think you know we've talked a lot about is the Vegas Knights for a lot of different reasons, and we're going to talk about them today because Jesse Granger is going to join us in about an hour. That should be a fun conversation. They're making a coaching change. Jack Eichel gets traded over there. The Sabres get Alex Tuch, Peyton Krebs, the draft pick. We'll see where that goes. Where are they? What's their situation, especially on the heels of the coaching change? So we're going to talk with Jesse Granger of The Athletic, who covers the Vegas Golden Knights, coming up at 11 a.m. Sal Capaccio here with Sneaky Joe DiBiase. If you want to get in on the conversation, anything we talk about, of course, you can do that. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. We have a lot more to get to as well, including football. And Joe, yesterday I listened to the Adam Schefter podcast with Mike North, the same Mike North that I interview mm-hmm. on my podcast. So for the last several years, I've interviewed Mike North on my podcast before the schedule comes out. Adam Schefter interviews him after the schedule comes out, kind of a post-mortem on what the schedule looks like. So I really think it's cool to be able to kind of hear what he has to say to me and other people before the schedule comes out, and then hear what he says to Schefter afterwards. So it was interesting. Okay. A couple of big news items, and I want to see how this hits you. Schefter tweeted this out. Howard talked about this briefly this morning at the end of the show. So starting next year,
yep.
the NFL TV agreement, there will be flex scheduling on Monday Night Football weeks 14 through 18. So just like they do for Sunday Night Football now, if they have a game when you get to December and go, you know what, that's not a good game we have in the schedule. We have a much better one we want to put on Monday Night Football like they do for Sunday Night now. They're going to do that starting next year, weeks 14 through 18. Look, I understand the whole point here and why you want to do it, and you don't like dog Monday Night games. No one does. Uh-huh. But I also think about the fans here, Joe. I mean, there's one thing to go from Sunday night, from a Sunday afternoon to a Sunday night. We experienced that in 2019 when the Bills were, you know, moved in the game against Pittsburgh, and fans are like, oh my God, I was going to go, now I can't, all that kind of stuff. To move to a Monday night flex scheduling is quite a bit different.
What wasn't there already a flex mechanism in place for Monday Night Football, or am I wrong in thinking that? That we already had something like this.
I think that it was reported it was going to happen, but I think that it never happened.
Did.
Yeah, and I think that maybe only because of the they do the Monday night thing. They did have this year that one Monday night game late in the season, right? Didn't they do that?
I thought they did do that, but I'm looking at the official league schedule page right now that explains
yes.
flexing.
Yes.
At the end, after explaining like how they do it with Sunday night, it says flex scheduling will not be applied to games airing on Thursday or Monday night. So I guess
correct.
I guess I must have just read that they were planning on doing it a while back and they
right.
never did it.
So it is official now. They're going to do okay. this starting next year, weeks 14 through 18.
Yeah, I think the fan element, right, has got to be the biggest part of this.
Right.
Because if you, I mean, if you're making plans, especially if you're out of town, and there's a lot of Bills fans that either drive from, you know, Syracuse, for instance, or somewhere in central New York, or maybe drive up from somewhere in Pennsylvania or fly in for certain games. And if you find out, that, I don't know, you listen to the podcast, I don't know if you explain like how the timeline in which they have to have that decision by, but I'm just envisioning like some fan that's made a, some Bills fan that lives in North Carolina, a lot of transplants that live in North Carolina, that's, all right, I'm going to go
right.
to the Bills-Steelers game. Or late in the season. What's a Bills game late in the season that's 1 o'clock? They have so many prime games.
Bills. I mean, if it, right now Bills Dolphins isn't necessarily scheduled for that, but it
okay,
would that would call something like that.
Bills Dolphins. Let's say that, or even you know what? Let's do this. Bills Jets. Bills Jets.
Okay.
December 11th. Yep. That's a 1 o'clock Sunday game. Let's say the Jets have a little bit of a surprising season, and some fan that bought tickets now in May, booked flights. Bills fan in North Carolina decided, I'm going to go to the Bills-Jets game. You know, not a super expensive game, and maybe the Jets could surprise. 1 o'clock Sunday, that's what I want to do. And they make plans. They take time off work. They make all the arrangements. And then, is it possible that 1 week before, boom, Monday night. All right, well, find a way to go, I guess, still. Or now you got to sell your tickets. You got to cancel your flights. You got to do a lot of stuff. Again, I don't know, though. You listen to the podcast. Did you have any answer on, like, how... like the timeline in which they would do that?
No, I would assume it's the same as now, which is 14 days.
Okay, so 2 weeks. But still, like that hypothetical I just created, that could mess with someone. So I think
I understand why they're doing it. Yeah, I just don't like the fact for fans. I remember that Sunday night game at Pittsburgh that was flexed, and even fans then were like, well, wait a minute, I was going to go, and now I can't drive to Pittsburgh. I got to work the next morning and all that kind of stuff, and I feel for people. Now, there could be other people in a different boat, which were like, hey, I wasn't able to go. Now I could go. I couldn't go on a Sunday. Now I can go on a Monday. That could also happen. There's no doubt about that, but it is very interesting. The other piece of this, which was also interesting, Monday Night Football. So you know how this year the Bills are playing in the Monday Night Week 2 doubleheader against the Titans, 7:15 p.m., and then the late game is the Vikings and Eagles. Well, this is the only game, this is the only week they're doing that this year, the Week 2 Monday Night Football doubleheader. Starting next year, there will be three different weeks where this will be happening. They do not yet know, this is Mike North speaking to Adam Schefter yesterday on his podcast, or this week, they do not yet know what weeks those will be. That'll be yet to be determined. Like, they could be early in the season, late in the season, spread out throughout the schedule, whatever it is. They also don't know, get this, Joe, if it will be the way it is now, like a 7:15 and 8:45, or if that's what it is, mm-hmm. or if it will be an early, like a 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock, or even if they kick off at the exact same time. Like, that has not been determined. And you could get a mix and match of those, but they're playing around with all of this stuff now.
Yeah, the staggered start that the Bills and Eagles are doing this year. The Bills, the Titans, and then the Eagles and Vikings.
I think
I kind of like that. I would like it more if the Bills weren't involved. Fantasy purposes, of course, would be like number one for me. Like just rooting interests and like intrigue. But I could get down with that. I kind of like the idea of like the staggered start where like one game is just about to go to halftime and the other just gets fired up. And then you can kind of decide based on that, because there's a lot of primetime games that aren't close that you maybe would like something else to flick to. Now, that, of course, presents the opportunity that both games are really good and you don't want to turn either one off. But, I mean, ESPN, listen, if they are putting all these networks are putting more and more investment into this, right? More and more capital. Like, live sports is like the last, it's the last remaining live television show anywhere. That is like appointment television. Everything else is going streaming, on demand. Like, there's that list of the top 100 live TV shows from 2021, and it's like 58 of them are NFL games. And then 30 of them are college football games, 10 are college basketball, and there's like three that aren't sports. And with all these networks recognizing that, ESPN one of them, and putting so much into it that they're willing to just throw $20 million a year to play-by-play and color men and Aikman and Buck, that they're gonna want to experiment a little, and they're going to want more games. Like, even if they don't get more nights, I think would be an example of they're going to want more games.
One of the reasons they said that they could even do like a exact same start, like the both games could kick off at the exact same time, not a staggered and not a one game ends, the other one goes. Mm-hmm. He said that they might even think about like because that would give the like NFL Red Zone a chance to do that for two games. It might give a chance for a whip around look from the networks. You know, they want to play with these things to see. And be honest with you, Joe, the Bills this year at week two in that Monday night doubleheader, they're kind of a guinea pig, if you will. Like the way they're doing it this year with this particular Monday Night Football doubleheader is they're going to see how that works and how the networks felt about it, how the fan reaction to, what do the ratings look like there? You're getting, you know, the entire country into the same kind of window, if you will, instead of one really early or one really late. So I don't know how it's going to turn out. I'm super interested. And then next year, of course, they said not only three times they're going to do this, they don't know what weeks they're going to do this in, which is really interesting.
Do you think we ever get to a point where there's Friday night NFL football, like on a regularity? I just feel like...
So I really hope not.
We're trying to find different time slots to always stuff these games in, because now Amazon's involved and NBC is still involved, Fox, ESPN, and we're finding that now Monday night wants to do either doubleheaders or staggered or back-to-back, and like I'm just thinking to myself... Like, that Friday night, like, I know that, like, high school football is maybe a big part of that. And
that's why I hope they don't do it.
Is that the biggest reason, you think?
Well, even the colleges for many, many years wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
They kind of had like almost an agreement with the NFL not to do that. But now we've seen that that's not the case anymore. Colleges are always kicking off on Friday night. And I hate it. I hate it when it happens. Syracuse has several Friday night games. It seems like every year, one or two. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I think that it's stupid to, I think you're hurting your own product by not having kids, being able to, you know, for people to, yeah. I shouldn't say that, and not hurting your own product. It's hurting the product of the future of football because you want people to go to high school games and support those kids and the lifebloods of some of those communities for those high school games. I hate it. I hate the fact colleges do it. I hope the NFL never goes to it. However, we do know that next year it appears they're going to have a Black Friday game. Now, that's a little bit different. Right. That's on Thanksgiving weekend. A lot of colleges, a lot of high schools, I should say, across the country are already done with their season. Not all of them. Some states are still playing. I understand. But in September and October, I hope they never go to Friday night games.
I hope they don't either. My guess is they will get there someday, though. Because
probably.
I mean, it's the way it works in the world, right? Like, it's going on in golf right now where it could be gross at times, like where sometimes the money comes from. That's not necessarily happening here in the NFL. I didn't need to make that tie-in. But, like, the money will drive it. And if Amazon one day comes to you and they don't care, if Bezos doesn't care about the high school element of that, but he throws $3 billion at the NFL and says, I want a Friday night game, are they going to say no? I mean, for now they're saying no, if anyone's even putting the idea in front of them, but it's the NFL's a machine, and they are, I think, going to more and more recognize the money that's at stake, the money that can be earned, the revenue, and putting on as many different games and different time slots as possible without getting to a point where, obviously, like the players would be at harm. Like, you're not going to put a game on a Tuesday night after a Sunday in the name of, oh, we can get this amount of eyeballs on it. But I hope it doesn't happen either, Sal, but I don't know. 10 years from now, I would guess we have, maybe not every week, but Friday night games will happen.
Yeah, I think
you're
right about that. The other thing that was discussed in this was they were kind of going through some of the teams. Like, he was asked, you know, our teams, you know, how it gets put together, what's unfair, what's fair. And he did not suggest, Mike North didn't suggest, like, that the Chiefs complained in any regard. But Adam Schefter pointed out, did you see the Chiefs' schedule? Have you looked at it?
No.
Joe?
Other than, their couple primetime games, no.
Yeah, but if you take a look at it, and Mike North pointed out, like, it would have been tough to do it any other way because their schedule just is loaded with over 500 teams. Joe, every single game they play in through November 6th is an above 500 team. The only teams that didn't make the playoffs they play in that time period are the Chargers and Colts, who are right there, by the way. But they start off Cardinals, Chargers, Colts, Bucks, Raiders, Bills, Niners, Titans.
That is a gauntlet. And
then they have the Jags. Wait, and then they go Chargers, Rams, Bengals after that.
So, yeah, right. It's their easier games are all in the second half of the year. But
right.
They don't have all easy games. Jacksonville is one that you would imagine it's going to be an easy game. We'll see. Right. Houston, you would think, would be.
I mean, I don't know what Arizona is. They go out there the week one, but you could see. I mean, Arizona could play fine in that game and have a chance to beat Kansas City.
Seattle, I mean, especially by week 16, I mean, that's going to be Drew Locke or Geno Smith. Like, that's probably not going well. I think their over-under I saw was 5.5 wins, so that's probably an easy game too, but that's only three games. And
out of those first eight games, they have one 1 o'clock start. Now, granted, I understand they're in Kansas City, and sometimes they don't always play at 1 o'clock. But we're talking mainly about 4:25 or primetime games. So, you know, the schedule makers did not do the Chiefs any favors here, right? I mean, when you take a look at all of that. Because, yes, but they do have a tough schedule as it is. Like, Mike North pointed out, he's like, look, just by nature of their schedule, like, it was going to turn out that way. They just play all these over 500 teams. The other thing that was interesting,
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s. On us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. the MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I know this. There are, I think, what did Schefter say? There are 19 primetime games featuring at least one AFC West team.
The Chiefs' strength of schedule this year is the hardest in the NFL, and it's not even close.
The Chiefs is? I'm sorry, I didn't
get that. The Chiefs
is. Yep, there you go.
I'm trying to find I'm looking at a chart right now that has them, like, the best way to describe it is, it's like a very constant, like just a very small decline from the easiest schedule in the league, which is the Giants, as you get closer and closer to the 30s, and then 31 is the Rams. And then it's like this one pretty straight line, and then boom, right at the end, there's just this one cliff right at the end, and there's the Chiefs all the way at the bottom. So I'm trying to find a number that represents that chart. But right. Just looking at this right now, I mean, we kind of just went through it. Like, there was only so much that they could do with their schedule, because it appears their schedule is the hardest, and it's the hardest by a lot. The Bills, by the way, like right in the middle of the back.
So I think that if you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs this year and thinking, who can they be? Are they still going to be the top team in the AFC West? I would say they have a very tough go of it, but also don't count them out if they are kind of middling around 500 late in the season, because then that's when they get an opportunity, it appears, just based on, you know, looks and feels of the last couple of years of what their schedule is going to be. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting, so we've talked about the Browns schedule, and I think you know this already, but you see that the first time the Browns are on a primetime game is week 8, right? Like, the first 7 games they are not.
Yep. And they only have 2, right?
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. That is wrong. They do have a primetime game against the Steelers. Okay. Hold on. I'm looking at this. They have a primetime game September 8th. That's a Thursday night. Okay. Anyway, Schefter basically asked the guys. He said, how much did Deshaun Watson's situation play into it? Did you talk to the commissioner at all? And they said flat out no. Like, they had no communication about that whatsoever. Now, I'm not here to say that anybody's lying or anything like that, Joe, but do you believe that? Do you believe in any way that they were not in contact with the commissioner to say, what should we do? I mean, I guess it's possible. Now and I also know Schefter pointed out that I guess under the new collective bargaining agreement that Goodell is not making the call on Deshaun Watson. I didn't realize that. Like, that's being structured different. But you do notice that they don't really get into their prime time until week 8. They have a, Monday night game. That's what it is. It's a Thursday night game against Pittsburgh, but their first Monday night appearance is week 8. They don't play a Sunday night or Monday night until then.
The reason I guess I can believe it is, so like my first thought was, I don't think I buy that, because Mike North, I think even with, maybe it was with you, openly admitted that they had to go back and edit the schedule after Tom Brady decided he was going to come back for the Buccaneers.
Talked a lot about that with Schefter too. Yeah,
right. So my first thought on that is, well, you've already proven that you want the intel, that you'll change your schedule based on who the quarterback is, which of course you should do.
Right.
But in this situation, I think I believe it, because the proof's in the pudding. I think the best course of action, if I were creating the schedule, if I was czar of creating the schedule this season, I think I would just get as few Browns games on as possible, no matter who's the quarterback. I don't think I care.
You mean in prime time?
In prime time. Yeah. And they ended up with only 2. The Thursday night against Pittsburgh in week 3, and the Monday night against the Bengals in week 8. At least that are locked solid, because there's a TBD on the week 15 game against Baltimore and the week 18 against Pittsburgh, like a lot of other teams have. So the reason I think you want, it doesn't almost even matter, is you can make 2 different arguments. One, you don't really want the Browns in prime time with Jacoby Brissett, because it's Jacoby Brissett. I mean, no offense to Jacoby Brissett, but he's not really, he's not a draw. He's a backup quarterback. He's a backup quarterback in the NFL. And you don't want backup quarterbacks on Sunday night, or Monday night, or Thursday night even, for that matter. And also, I don't think you want Deshaun Watson on primetime television, even if he's playing. I don't think you want him on there either, because what is that? That's a tough. I don't think if I'm the network, I want that, because now I've got to showcase Deshaun Watson.
Showcase promoting, and then
I don't want
the storyline that goes with it. Like, what are they going to talk about? How are they going to treat that and handle it? All that kind of stuff.
So I think it almost would be irregardless. Brissett, because he's a backup, and Watson, because I don't want to showcase that guy on my television right now. I think I can believe that it didn't play into it, because both results would land to me with, I just don't want to put the Browns on primetime that much.
And then finally, the last thing before we wrap up this segment. So just to put all of the conspiracy theories to rest and to know that everybody, I've been saying this for a while, but it always, people wanted to give you sources and tell you they had all this kind of stuff. They said, they told Adam Schefter on this podcast, just so we're clear on the record here, teams did not get the schedules, Joe, until the day before. Like, no team had their schedule. They just didn't know. Now, of course, a few games here or there were put out by the league. We know that. But teams did not have their schedule until the day before the release, and the networks didn't actually have their full schedule until the day of the release. How about that?
Did he say who in the team or just, like, the team in general? Like, everyone would get it at once, I'm assuming?
Like the I think they sent it to the owner / GM. I think that's okay. How he means it. Like, okay. the team doesn't get it. Like, they send it to the highest up people they can, and then they will disperse it. Because I know that they basically call the GM and go through it. I know that. I've seen videos of that, how they do it. Maybe that's how they've done it in years past. But when he says teams, I think he means owner / GM. They don't get their schedule. They didn't get it this year until the day before. So anybody who told you, oh yeah, these teams got their schedules, they all know that's why their leak's coming out. That's not the case. They're not getting it from now. Maybe somebody in the league office knew a certain game here or there, mm-hmm. and someone was able to leak it out. That might have happened. But as I tried to explain to people for a long time, teams do not get the schedules until about 24 hours at most beforehand. Usually it's the day of, and this year it was the day beforehand.
Yeah, we didn't see any leaks that really came out to be correct until really, like,
right.
Was it even the night really before? Late. It's every year, right? It's the morning of.
Right.
It's the morning of, you start seeing leaks, and like that's when it really starts.
So we'll see. So the schedule, obviously, it's been out now for, 6 days, and we're still digesting it a little bit. It's very interesting what they did with the Buffalo Bills, and it was a good podcast. If you want to go listen, it's Adam Schefter's podcast with Mike North, and they talked about the schedule release. They did kind of a postmortem, if you will, on what the schedule looks like, and of course, I talk with Mike beforehand, so it's kind of cool to see how those things mesh together. All right, we'll take a timeout here on the Extra Point Show. We'll come back. Jesse Granger of The Athletic, who covers the Vegas Golden Knights, is going to be joining us at the top of the next hour. So we'll get with that coming up, and then we'll talk a little bit more here on the Bills and their roster and what it looks like right now as we head to OTAs, by the way, starting next week. Joe, we'll talk about that when we come back.
There's a lot of the pieces back. They re-signed the center, Ryan Jensen. They're able to give a big contract to Chris Godwin, who's coming off a knee injury late in the year and couldn't play in the postseason. You're able to go into the draft and get a couple of guys that can probably help on the defensive line, on the offensive line, and maybe even help immediately. You got a running back out of Arizona State that might play some. There are a lot of reasons to still be excited, but the primary one is Brady and his leadership. Now, the only unknown, as we sit here on May the 17th, is how long does he hold up physically? We have to continue to say this. I mean, the magic runs out with your elbow and your shoulder and being able to throw the ball no matter who you are at some point. Let's see how long that lasts.
That's our buddy TJ Reeves. He's the sideline reporter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Does a lot of not only NFL radio, college football radio, play-by-play, things like that. We always enjoy having him on. He was on yesterday here on the Extra Point Show with Sal and Joe, and you can always listen to that interview on demand, and all of our on-demand audio is brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. You can go back on the Odyssey app. You can rewind. You can listen to all of that stuff. Anything we got going on, make sure you do that. Joe, did you see James Bradberry has signed with the Philadelphia Eagles? $10 million on a one-year deal. How's that hit you?
Hits me as that was never happening here. So good
right,
thing.
I agree.
Good thing you got Kyir Elam in the draft, because if he was getting $10 million, that was never happening. So that's my first thought. And my second thought is Eagles are having a nice little offseason here, right? AJ Brown in
very nice.
For a trade.
Yes.
They signed Hassan Reddick, big free agent ad on the edge. Now James Bradberry, Jordan Davis in the first round. They got N'Kobe Dean in the third round, who everyone thought was going to be a first-round guy. So, and I've always been a little high on Jalen Hurts, maybe more than the average guy. So, I don't know. I'm staring at them, plus 190 to win that division, and I kind of like it. I kind of like it right now.
A couple interesting tweets on this. Emmanuel Acho says, the Eagles have not so quietly had the best offseason in football. The question is no longer will they make the playoffs, but how far will they go? Okay, I can get with that. I'm not going to be totally like, oh my God, all in like that. But part of it, Joe, is the division they're in. It's not a great division. The Cowboys should be pretty good, but I don't think, I mean, the Giants are going to be, they're going to be rebuilding here. I think the Commanders are still trying to find their way. They could be decent, I guess, but I'm not expecting anything really great. So I think part of that's the division for them.
I do too. The conference, even, right? Like just the
yeah, maybe that's right. Yeah.
They squeaked in last year. It's not the AFC where like there's going to be a top quarterback who misses the playoffs in the AFC because it's just there are so many of them that someone really good is probably going to miss. The NFC, like the Eagles made it last year when they squeaked in, and were they really that good? I mean, they didn't prove it once they got to the playoffs and they got beat down by Tampa. And like, right. who do you know is good in the NFC right now? You know Tampa's good. You know the Rams are good.
Do we know Green Bay is good? Do we know Green Bay is?
I think we know they're good. I mean, I think you can
we know
even.
They have a great quarterback and they should be good, yes.
Yeah, you can even say they take a step back with Devontae Adams and there's still right. room for them to be a really good team, a playoff team. So that's three.
I think Dallas is good. I mean, what's the definition of good? I think Dallas is good. I don't think that
playoffs.
They're a Super Bowl contender.
Right? Like,
yeah, I think Dallas can be, they'll be right there. They'll be, I think they should be able to, to me, I think if I picked the NFC right now, I'd probably pick Dallas to make the playoffs. I think
right.
San Francisco, I question about the quarterback though. We don't know exactly that. Outside of that, I like their roster. I mean, I think that they should be pretty good, but who knows? The quarterback could sink them or he could really elevate them. Who knows?
So this is a good way to do it. The Niners, like, that's the sixth team we've named, and we're already at, like, there are, and I agree with you, there are questions about them.
Yeah.
That's the sixth team we've got to. Seven make the playoffs. Who's the sixth team you're getting to in the AFC? I mean, is it the Bengals? Is it the Ravens with Lamar Jackson? Is it the Colts, who probably should have made it last year and I think upgraded a quarterback with Matt Ryan? Is it the Titans? The NFC. The Niners are the sixth team we named, and there's seven teams that'll make it. The Eagles,
that's right.
I mean, the Cardinals, they should make the playoffs. I mean, I'm not saying they will, but that's a team that with the quarterback they have, like it'll be a failure in Arizona if they don't make it, I think.
Okay, Joe, ready? You got a pen and paper with you? You got a pen and paper next to you?
Yeah,
or you have a notepad you can write on or something like that?
I got the notepad.
Okay, so I'm gonna read off these seven teams, okay? And then I'm going to ask you a question after I do.
Okay.
Okay, write these names down. Cowboys, Eagles.
Okay.
Packers, Buccaneers, Rams.
Yep.
Cardinals, 49ers.
Okay, that's seven?
I gave you seven teams. If I told you right now, as we sit here on May 18th, Joe, Sal Capaccio, I am betting all seven of those teams are making the playoffs. And obviously, I'd have to give you a lot of odds. But you know, if I said, all right, if I'm wrong, I'll give you $100. If I'm right, you give me $1,000. Would you do it?
No, I don't. I don't think I would.
Right.
I think, like, You would take like the probabilities, right? Like what are the odds?
Like the 10-to-1 odds, right? I mean, I guess I'm just saying. Where's the hole there, right? I mean, you could say, well, I could see San Fran, but who else makes it? Washington? Wouldn't you go with the same seven teams right now?
I think I would because and part of it too is not just. I mean, maybe this is maybe the larger point. Those teams are good, even really good. Some of them, others, there's questions about. But below that, like who's the team that's taking a jump? Because I see four teams. That five teams even in the NFC that are either rebuilding or they're starting a rebuild or they're not fully formed yet. Seattle, Carolina, the Giants, the Bears, the Falcons. That's five teams right there that wouldn't it be stunning if any of them made the playoffs? And how many teams like that are there in the NFC? Three? Or in the AFC? The Jaguars would be probably stunning.
Right.
The Texans and the Jets. I think you could conceivably make an argument for anybody else, even the Steelers, who just made it last year. Whereas the NFC, no way the Falcons are making it. No way the Bears are making it. No way the Panthers with Sam Darnold or the Seahawks with Drew Locke. Like, I just can't see it. And I haven't mentioned the Lions. And part of that is because I kind of like the Lions this year. Like, I think they might be that surprise team. They might have that in them. But there's not many of those teams. Minnesota, Washington, New Orleans are just kind of eh. So, I think a lot of it is, Sal, that, yeah, you just, there's no team that it's easy to see that big jump. And a lot of that is because there aren't a lot of good young quarterbacks in the NFC. They're all in the AFC.
No, that's right. That's right. And the quarterbacks they do have are really the older ones, I guess, unless you count, you know, Kyler Murray, you could, and Dak Prescott, I think they can qualify there as the better younger quarterbacks in the NFC, but well, is Dak even younger anymore?
How many NFC quarterbacks do you feel like you know what they are? Like all
how many NFC quarterbacks do I feel like I know what they are?
Like you know what you're getting. I think Who are the guys you don't know what you're getting? Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean,
and
even Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts.
The only ones you know what you're getting are Dak, Rodgers.
Brady. I think Stafford.
And Kyler Murray.
See, are you saying like only like you know what you're getting and it's going to be good? Because I feel like I know I'm getting middle-of-the-road play from Kirk Cousins. And the same thing.
I see what you're saying.
I think I know what I'm getting.
I was saying,
know
what you're getting and you're okay with it. Like, you're comfortable with it. Like, know what you're getting. The rest is either very uncertain or I just don't want it on my team.
Okay. So that's right. I feel like I know what I'm getting, whether it's good or bad or average.
Yes.
From, like, all of them. Cousins, Wentz, Winston, Mariota, Daniel Jones, as much.
Where do you put Daniel Jones? Yeah, where do you put Daniel Jones?
I think Jones deserves to be in the maybe column. That we don't really know yet.
What are we getting out of New Orleans?
See, that I feel like Winston with Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas, and Chris Olave. He threw 30
numbers, man.
He threw 30 interceptions. Like, can that be fixed? And also, there's no Sean Payton anymore, if that matters to him being fixed.
That's right. It does. I think it does, yes.
He's so up and down that I guess he could have an insane season. I guess he could.
Right.
I'm not thinking it's likely. It's possible, but not likely, is where I'd go with Winston on that. And then Goff is, we know he can, when he's surrounded by good weapons, he can produce. Like, do we at least know that about him? I mean, he made the Super Bowl with the Rams when he was surrounded by a good offense with good receiving options. And Detroit's, it's going to be more about that. Is DJ Chark healthy? And is he as good as he was in his first 2 years in Jacksonville? Is Amon-Ra St. Brown going to be as good as his rookie year? Is Hockenson still going to be good? Is Jameson Williams going to be healthy? Like, there's variance on how good the Lions' skill positions will be, but like Goff even. Like, I feel like I know that if they don't have a good infrastructure around him, Goff's probably going to let them down. If they hit on a lot of these receivers and Hockenson, the tight end, and the offensive line too, that like that's why I'm kind of high in the Lions as like the surprise team, because they've got better pieces. I like the coach. I think a lot of people like the coach. And they've got a quarterback, while he's uninspiring, we have proof that when he is surrounded by the right pieces that he can get you to the playoffs.
I think it's just amazing that we've gone from totally making fun of the coach to you saying I think a lot of people like the coach.
I think that's been what a revelation. What a year that guy's had. You're right, cuz he was
right.
Wasn't it like they gave who a 6-year deal? Dan Campbell.
Kneecaps.
He's biting kneecaps. He's wearing NASCAR helmets. Right, like there was a little of the, wasn't there a little of like the Rex Ryan kind of like showman type thing?
He was, Miami, right? Wasn't he Miami interim coach for a hot minute? And
yes.
Like he was talking all about all the old school cliches and, you know, I don't know. I mean, he probably didn't say something like this, but, you know, rubbing people's face in the dirt or something. I mean, that would have been something he might have said. I don't know.
Do you remember, who was the guest we had on that was talking a lot about like their measurements on fourth down decision making and when to punt?
Oh, that was
there was
that
rating.
Seth Walder?
No, there was that rating system, right? EDJ Sports
is
in my head.
Yes, that's right. EDJ Sports. You're right. They said that he was very good in that regard.
That's what I remember most about that conversation. Is Dan Campbell was like one of the top coaches in the NFL, like in knowing when to punt, when to go for it on fourth down. And this is kind of why I'm kind of into him as an idea. Is he gives you the raw. Type of coach that you want in the locker room, right? He seems to like have his pulse on like building the culture part of the job, and then he also seems to know like the game management part of the job. So like the win's got to come before you're ready to declare him a great head coach. But I'm very optimistic about a lot of what he showed in his first year. I guess is the point on Campbell.
By the way, real quickly, Dan Campbell in 2015, he went 5-7 as the Miami Dolphins interim coach. So, you know, I mean, he actually did win some games that year when he replaced Joe Philbin after just 4 weeks into the season. All right, yesterday there was a draft lottery. I got a couple questions. NBA, maybe should we do this in the NFL? I've had ideas about this for a long time, Joe. Want to get your thoughts on that when we come back on WGR. So, Joe, we had an NBA draft lottery last night.
I knew that it was happening. At this right. moment in time, I have no idea what happened.
Okay, I didn't even realize what was happening last night. And then I saw it, and the Orlando Magic actually moved up to get the top pick overall. The okay. Oklahoma City Thunder moved up. They're number two. And Sacramento Kings jumped into the top three. They moved up three spots, actually. They're going to pick... I think I picked fourth overall. Houston moved down. Houston was, they had the best odds. They moved down to the number three spot. Orlando, Oklahoma City, Houston, Sacramento. Then Detroit, Indiana, Portland round them out. So.
Do you know who the number one overall prospect is?
Who is it? It's, is it the kid from Gonzaga, maybe? I'm not
I'm
really
looking
sure.
at
there's a few that can go from.
I didn't know this until I just clicked on it. At the moment. A mock draft
Chet
I'm looking
Holmgren,
at.
Maybe?
Chet Holmgren is from yeah. Gonzaga is projected to go first yeah. overall.
I think so. There's no, like, I don't know. I don't think he's like the, he's got to be the guy. I think Jabari Smith is up there too from
yep.
Auburn. I think that there's a few guys.
He's second. Yep.
Joe, I've always advocated for an NFL draft lottery. I don't know how to do it. Like, I think there's a lot of ways you can do it. That's not the point here. I'm just saying there should be something involved. In the NFL. I haven't settled on the best way to do it. I have thoughts on that, but I think that's not seeing the forest or the trees. My big picture is I think the NFL should have some sort of draft lottery.
I agree. It would prevent you from having a blatant attempt to tank at the end of the season. More so than a whole season. I mean, maybe the Dolphins actually did it. It doesn't sound like Stephen Ross. There's anything concrete that is going to indict him to where he'll get removed from ownership, offering Brian Flores $100,000, which was alleged, but it's believable, right? Like the tank for Tua, a desperate owner that at every turn has been desperate to find a franchise quarterback. I mean, maybe that was a season-long campaign, but otherwise, what else comes to mind? Remember the Eagles? Not at the end of this past season, but the end of 2020 when they took Hurts out of a competitive game in the third
right.
quarter against Washington for, who's the quarterback? Nate Sudfeld is coming to mind. Is that
yeah,
the right
I think
name?
That was right, yeah. Yeah.
And, like, if you want to prevent that, listen, like, this is a way to do it because right now you are, as you are in any sport, to where there's no draft lottery and there's a franchise-level player in the draft, it's just simple logic. You're incentivized to lose, which should never be the case.
I don't think, and I agree with all that, what you just said, but I don't think that's the reason why the NFL won't do it. I think the NFL says, yeah, you want to tank? Like, there's no guarantee that the guy you're going to get is going to be great. Ryan Leaf mm-hmm. wasn't great, right? I mean, you could take guys at the top of the draft, and they're just so heck-bent on parity that they just want, like, the worst team's got to get the picks. The worst team's got to get the picks. We got to flip this, and that's just the way the NFL operates. But I agree with you. I think that it just, and Joe, dude, we're making a week-long thing out of the schedule. Do you know what we could do with a lottery? Do you know what the NFL could do with a TV lottery?
Oh my God. They would stick it on some day where nothing else is happening, and the whole week would be dedicated just to that draft lottery.
Oh! The games they could play, the way they could do it, they could build it up. It would be unbelievable what the NFL could do with a draft lottery. I think the NFL should go to a draft lottery. I don't know the exact... I have thoughts on how to do it. That's for another day. But I just think in some way, shape, or form, they should do something
like
that.
A lot of these leagues do it kind of similarly, don't they? Like the NBA and the NHL are, I guess, the two that really do it. But, like, there's not,
right.
I don't know, maybe there are crazy unique ways to do it, but I don't know, it feels like there's just, you know, you give the top team 25% and they're not allowed to move down mm-hmm. more than two or three spots, and that's just kind of how you do it, I feel like.
Yeah, that could be it. But the Magic did win the lottery last night. Got me thinking about something else with the lottery. But we'll get to that later because we got Jesse Granger, who covers the Vegas Knights, coming up next at the other side of this timeout on the Extra Point Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.